knows what he's doing. Nehemiah asks, he said, give me letters. In other words, give me your word, King, in writing, so that I can use whenever somebody comes against me, so that I can use to show them I have permission to go wherever I want to go, do what I need to do, because you gave me the word. God has given us his word that we be able to go and do. He says that whatever our hands touch, that it shall prosper. He said, wherever the sole of your feet tread, you shall have it. You'll have houses you didn't build, land that didn't belong to you to begin with. He said, you can have this stuff. And I'm no prosperity preacher. I'm a love preacher. But I see what God is saying here. God is showing us. He said, not only that, do I need a word to get through, but I need a word to get stuff. Oh, mercy. How are you going to build a Nehemiah? I'm trusting God. He's going to cause the king to give me a word. And he said, the king granted me everything because of God.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
It's gonna be all right.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
No need to worry.
The gospel is on the radio at 88.1. Call up somebody. Tell them it's going to be all right. KAYT. Got the gospel transmitting all day.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
To praise for the first Lord's Supper experience in our ministry today. Well, get your Bibles and stand on your feet in honor of the word of the Lord. And we certainly want to thank God for the union of marriage in our ministry, and certainly this weekend, married couples of our ministry and many who gathered from around the city and various areas came to celebrate their love in the Lord. And so to complete and culminate that weekend experience, the Lord has led me to speak on a series of messages entitled Home Sweet Home. And I want to begin with the head, because that's how God starts off. And so I want you to turn your Bibles to the book of Genesis. And if you're from the old school, you'd say Genesis. Amen. Verse chapter 2, verse 15, it says, and the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an helpmeet for him. Verse 21 says, and the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. And on the basis of verse 25, and they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. I won't talk about home, sweet home. Now, there are so many things that I want you to look and see in this verse, or these passages that were read in your hearing, and we'll take a few more to actually deal with this. But I want to begin with the structure and help us understand some perhaps erroneous ideologies floating around as to man and woman and their roles and responsibilities, and we're going to deal with those biblically throughout this day. But I just want to start with where God had already placed man in a paradise experience, had already provided everything for him. And according to verse 15, I just want you to look there with me as we walk through these verses. The Bible says, and the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to do two things simply, to dress it and keep it. Dress it and keep it. His work was not laborious. It was a labor of love. He was simply to dress it and to keep it. Verse 16 says, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. Verse 17, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Now let's walk back through that verse again, and I want to show you some things, and keep this in mind as we continue on. Verse 17 says, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, underline thou. Thou, speaking to who? Adam. Thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that, underline thou eatest thereof, thou, underline thou, shalt surely die. Now, here's something interesting, because again, you're going to see in the text that we have before us, how if we're not careful to understand roles and responsibilities and understand that God sets a structure up and he doesn't deviate from the structure, even if we choose to do different things from what he has set up, he's still going to hold you accountable and responsible for your role. Now listen at this. The Bible says, verse 18, and the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for what purpose? For him. Now notice here again, now the word help meet simply means one to help him meet the responsibilities and obligations that God has given to him as the head, as the first. Now everything else in creation had a mate. They were able to continue to reproduce because they had a mate. Man did not have a mate or a helpmeet. And when man, Adam, was going through and watching all of the things happen in the garden and how God again caused reproduction to go through and so forth, he noticed that Adam wondered, well, Lord, what's wrong with me? Why don't I have someone like these other things you've created have? And so God said,
to the rest of the Godhead, it is not good for man to be alone. That is not the design that I placed for him to be productive. So look at what the word says. The Bible says, again, verse 18, and I will make him an helpmeet for him. Now, this is important because when God joins together something, he joins together something that fits. You've heard the saying, if it don't fit, don't force it. But when God made a help meet, notice what the Bible said, it was for him. Now, how do you determine what's for you? I'm glad you asked. First of all, you're going to see that because God set the structure here, man didn't have to pray for a helpmeet because God gave him the proper and perfect helpmeet for him originally. Now notice this, because this is a helpful holy hint for man to understand who it is that provides his helpmeet. And listen at this. Again, the text says, he says, and the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. Now, notice he says that the man should be alone. Now, again, though he speaks of Adam here, he refers to all mankind. He says, I will make him a helpmeet for him. Verse 19 says, and out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. Now look at how God gave him dominion and power over everything he created. Now the Bible says that God, listen, now Adam, he sees Adam is still by himself. God said, I'm going to make him a helpmeet, but I'm going to make him a helpmeet after he take care of his business. So he starts running everything that he created by Adam. He said, Adam, what you think that ought to be? That looked like a deer. You run something else by. What you think that? That looked like a turtle. Anything he called him, God said, that's what it is. Now, let me tell you why God did this. Now, no matter how silly the name of the animal or insect might be, God said, man called him that, and I'm going to leave it that way because God does not give gifts and take them back. He puts a structure in order, and he does not deviate from him. He could have said, Adam, I don't like the name of that. That's not what that is. But he never again aborted the original design and gave man dominion over creation because of God's part. Now, when man lost what he lost, it was because of man's part, not God's part. Now, look again. So he's taking care of the business and so forth. Verse 20 says, and Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found and help meet for him. Now, keep in mind the word help meet, because in God's divine blueprint for the marriage or for the home or for a man and wife, God always put two things together that worked. If it don't work together, then God didn't join it together. You gonna help me meet something when you're going in the opposite direction, pulling in a different way, not supporting the vision that God has given? Now, this is one of the reasons why, again, man must understand he's got to know where he's going, because the purpose of the wife is to help him reach his destination. He's got to know who he is so that she can complete the program that God has placed in him for mankind. See, if he's messed up, it's going to be difficult for her to do her role. And so this is important for man to know his place. Now, because there are some things, three things I'm going to share with you before we finish this text, but I'm just setting it up for you to understand. Now, notice here again what the Bible says. The Bible says, verse 21, and the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. Verse 23 says, and Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his wife or father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, and the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Now let's look at a few things in this. First of all, God puts Adam to sleep. Now this is one of the again, this is the original, so this is the only place where God brings the woman to the man. Every place else, he says, when the man find a woman. Yeah. Let me help you women again. This is the only place where God brings the woman to the man. Every other place, he says, when the man find the woman, he finds a good thing. Now listen at this. If you're a good thing, don't go looking, because he gonna find you if you're a good thing. Okay? If you ain't good, you gotta sell yourself. You got the hook and crook, and well, that's another sermon there, but if you're a good thing, somebody'll spot you and say, my God, that looks like a good thing. Now he puts Adam to sleep, and he pulls a rib from Adam's side, and he thus forms woman from what he had already created, which means that woman came out of man. This is the first place in Scripture and in history, and the only example where woman comes out of man. First, and every other time, man comes out of woman. Y'all gonna get all of this as y'all. Now, notice here, because I want to go on and share some other things with you, because first point I want you to understand is that, one, role reversal leads to adverse reactions. Role reversal leads to adverse reactions. Now, keep that in mind. We're going to move on a little further because I want you to see some things. Now, chapter 3 goes on and starts speaking about the serpent and how subtle than any abusive field was, and God made him, and the Bible says, and he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Verse 2 says, and the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God had said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Now, of course, the text doesn't say that, but she didn't get that directly from God according to the word. She got this from Adam. Now, what God told Adam was, and I want you to back up and see this, the Bible says, verse 16, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. Verse 17, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. Now notice he don't say nothing about touching it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Now I submit that the reason why Adam probably told Eve don't touch it is because he knew that if she would touch it, she'd want to taste it. And he didn't want her to get no close to it. God had already told him, don't eat it. That's all he told him. He didn't say, you can't look at it, you can't touch it, don't do anything. But he may have added that. And then I don't know that he said that to Eve. Eve just might have added that herself. Look at what the Bible says. Verse 4 says, and the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Verse 5, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Verse 6 says, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Yeah. Now, here Eve again and Adam reverse roles. Because though God gave the command to Adam, and then Adam ultimately gave the command to Eve, Eve knew the command, but the command was not to Eve, it came to Adam from Eve, but the command was for Adam from God. Because God gave the command once, and he gave it to the man. Now, it was the man's role. Listen, Eve could have eaten the whole tree and nothing would have happened. But it was his responsibility because of the command not to eat of that tree. Now, Eve, I submit, would not have had, even though she had, again, the word of her husband, which she should have honored and obeyed because she had received it from her husband, and unto her, that was the same as receiving it unto the Lord. Because if you go back in scripture and remember, when God gave Adam the command, Eve wasn't even on earth yet. She wasn't even, she didn't hear God tell him that. That's what he said God said. But even so, if she would have submitted unto him and he would have maintained his authority and his role, first of all, may I say to you that Eve never would have eaten off of the fruit in the first place. But the second problem I have was that Adam was right there watching her pick the fruit and eat it. Well, how do you say it? Because the text says it. The Bible says, verse 6, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband. Ah, look at the word. He didn't just show up later. Eve, what you eating, girl? That look good. He saw, he knew, and he reversed her role and let her become the head. And then he then became the help meet. Because listen at what he might have said. Well, if Eve don't die, I don't guess I'm going to die. So he let her eat first. And when she didn't drop dead, I guess that devil was right. Maybe that ain't the truth there. And he partook of that fruit. Listen at the text now, because it's all here. Verse 7 says, and the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Now, before God, when he created them, now he notice here, there was no covering. Listen at this. Because there was no need for covering. Amen. Because all things were open and all things were honest and all things were real, and there was nothing to be hid. Yeah. Everything was right, everything was real, and it was the way God originally designed it. Yeah. But the moment they sinned, they saw their flesh as something unrighteous and ungodly and ungood. And so they took their leaves and sewed them together and made them aprons. Yeah. Look at what the word says. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden of the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam. Notice he didn't call Adam and Eve. And said unto him, where art thou? He didn't say, where are y'all? Now, I'm still holding a point here. He's still not aborting his structure. He's still holding Adam responsible and accountable for being the head. Now, look at what the Bible says. Verse 10, and he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. Verse 11, and he said, who told thee that thou was naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I command thee that thou shouldest not eat? Now, point two is what I want you to see here. That role relinquishing does not release one from accountability. Role relinquishing does not release one from accountability. Now, because notice what he says. And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. Now, he would have been all right if he said, Lord, I just got weak. But now, he was the one who was miserable in the garden by himself. And God saw him moping and moaning and complaining and yet incomplete. And God made him a helpmeet. Now he has the audacity, the unmitigated gall to tell God, I was doing good till you gave me this woman. God waited until he was able to handle responsibility and deal with responsibility and was responsible before he ever gave him a help meet. When Eve came on the scene, paradise was already set. Everything was already taken care of. She didn't have to wonder where she was going to live, what she was going to eat, what they were going to do. Everything had been provided. May I suggest to you that when God gives a help meet, honey, he ought to have some things already in place. He ought already to be able to show himself responsible and accountable and be able to provide. Now listen at this, because he already knew better, God would not allow him to use that flimsy excuse that the woman you gave me, you notice I never did this before she came. y'all getting quiet on me here. Listen again, raw relinquishing does not release one from accountability. Verse 13 says, and the Lord God said unto the woman, okay, since you've shifted the blame here, you're playing the blame game, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. Now notice they kept passing on the buck and the responsibility. But I want you to know something else too, because I want to show you in scripture that when God made woman to be the help meet, she was to be a companion. They were to be one flesh. There was not a head or a tail. There was not a greater or a lesser. They were equally yoked. In the original plan of God, she was just, you know what she was? Now he was man, and literally, she was co-man. She was taken out of his rib. He called her woman, but God made them equal. So he was man, and she was co-man. She was the equal of man in woman form. And they had, according to the word of God, let's look at that dominion. Let's go back to chapter 1. Let me show you this in scripture. I don't want you to think I'm making up none of this. Verse 26 of the first chapter. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish and the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So, verse 27, God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. Now, notice again, it says, the Bible says, and let them have dominion. And it starts talking about over everything. Them have dominion. That means that Adam had no more power than Eve, and Eve had no less power than Adam. When they originally were designed, they were equal. But I want you to look and see what sin did. Because there was no head until there was a first and then a second. But it wasn't no head until woman sinned by causing man to sin, and who said was beguiled by the enemy, and on and on. So God deals with every one of them and fixes the problem as he sees it. Notice the Bible says again. Verse 14, and the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. That's a prophecy talking about Jesus Christ. Verse 16 says, unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception in sorrow. Thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule where? Now, why would God say he shall rule over thee if he was already ruling thee? Are y'all listening? Now, let me help you understand now. When man, listen, relinquished his authority, when man reversed his role, God says, no, let me put this thing back in its proper place and remind you that I have not changed my mind as to how I want things done. You were here first, and you were here to show her, and she was here to help you to accomplish what I put you here for. But you forgot who was first, and you forgot what I told you, and you started following instead of leading. Let me help you understand now. I put you here for a reason. Man man, listen, was made in God's image, and mankind and woman coming out of man was made in God's image, but man was the first. Yeah. And God wanted his structure not to be perverted, but remain the same. Yeah. Now listen at this, because I want you to understand. God is doing a role refreshing here. Yeah. What does that mean? He's reminding man, you are the man. And you ought to act like the man, lead like the man, do what the man's supposed to do, and not hide behind the woman, but the woman hide behind you. You are supposed to be the leader.
That's it.
A home can't be sweet when the woman is doing the man's job. Because she got to be man and woman. She got to be weak and strong.